I was just thinking about the sacredness of the plants and how when we give the plants what they need to survive because of the way we treat them, you know, there's a lot of chemicals in the world and of course there's the genetically modified organisms and the things that they do to the plants, you know, playing God with the plants. A lot of the European people or the people that came over here and disrupted the harmony of the balance of everything, and everything's polluted in a sense, the way I see it. But when we partake of those, does it affect the spirit of the plant? Does the chemicals affect the spirit of the plant?
Well,
as opposed to those that have been nurtured and there's more of a balance.
Well, I think a good way to think about that is to is like this, that you know, the the plant people back before the world began, and are those who were going to become the plant people, and those who became were to become the human people. They made some agreements. Some of those plants agreed to help us in special ways by allowing themselves to be what we call cultivated and provide food for us. Others provided fiber and you know, fuel and medicine and various other things. But I'm just talking about the food plants now. There were agreements set in place that said, well, we're going to help you out in this way, but the deal is, in exchange, we're asking you to express gratitude for what we're doing for you. And actually, the ways that they were requesting gratitude were set out and agreed upon, mostly in the forms of what we would call prayer and ceremony, and also to be grown and harvested and eaten in a respectful way. In recent times, a lot of those agreements have been forgotten and violated. In one way, you could say that those violations were also agreed to at the beginning. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. But they're agreed to in a way that, in the end, for the purpose of teaching us human beings the importance of keeping those sacred promises, and therefore, when we don't keep our agreements, things get out of balance. And when things get out of balance, you know, we have to suffer consequences. Now, it is true that the plants suffer some consequences as well. But, you know, the main thing is that the human beings suffer consequences. And through those consequences, eventually, people will once again get the message of, you know, the way the world works is through these sacred agreements and exchanges that keep things in balance. And so eventually those things will be restored, and both the humans and the plants will benefit from that. So you could say that the plant people have agreed to go through this ultimately for the benefit of the humans, and therefore for the benefit of the whole world, because the human beings are by far the greatest introducers of imbalance into the world. So it's not exactly a you know, a perpetrator victim scenario entirely. It, So I'd say this, that yes, there are consequences for the plant beings, but the biggest and strongest consequences are for us. It's like, what are we doing to ourselves? In the end, the plant people and the rest of the natural world, well, in the end, they're going to do just fine. And the question is more like, how are we going to do, and are we going to survive?
Once the plant dies, what happens to the soul of the plant? Do you know that answer?
Well, the soul, I'm going to put that in quotation marks, of a plant is a different kind of thing from the human soul, primarily because plants, unlike human beings, don't suffer under any illusion of separateness. They don't experience themselves as individuals. Therefore, the journey of the soul of a plant after death is a very different thing. The main operational part of the soul, if you want to call it that, of a plant, is not about the individual plant. It's the species. So it's quite a different journey.
Thank you.
You're welcome.